Welcome to episode 31 of Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today, I'm talking with West Coast talent, Larry Hudson. He's the creator of VO Heaven, a place for VO actors to participate in VO workouts, learn about Adobe, and much more. Listen in as Larry talks about what the VO Holy Trinity is, and why, if you want to be successful in voiceovers, he feels you need it. Here's our chat. Larry Hudson, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate your time.
It is my pleasure.
So first question for you here, I ask everyone, how the heck did you find voiceovers? Or did it find you?
Well, interestingly, in the early 90s, I was in commercial real estate. I was the executive director of leasing for a building called the California Mart, which is a 2 million square foot building in downtown Los Angeles that houses all of the fashion showrooms. Mm-hmm. It's where the reps are, and this is where buyers from the different retail stores, et cetera, come from all over not only the country, but the world to purchase product to put in their stores. And I, at that time, one of the things that we did in that business is we would have what's called a market, and there would be four a year for the different seasons. And we always had a fashion show. And not sure how it happened, but I became the announcer for the fashion shows.
I love it.
And, you know, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the California Mart. You know, tonight's show will be blah, 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 you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so I always had this, and so this is like 93, 4 in there. I always had this idea that I wanted to do voiceover, but I didn't know anybody that was in voiceover. And candidly, I was making a whole lot of money doing what I was doing and literally forgot about the dream. And in 2009, the person that I just told you the story about that we were driving on our way to Mammoth, where she lived, there was a person that was her neighbor that was a voice actor. He came over to her place and we were hanging out and we started talking about voiceover, and he was an on-camera and voice actor. And he said, you know, he started talking to me about it. And I go, you know, it literally just hit me. Like I went, wow, you know, I always wanted to do that. But I never knew anybody or what to do to really get into it.
Yeah.
It goes, well, you know, you got a voice. If you want to do it, I'll tell you what to do. And so I said, okay, great. And he didn't tell me a lot, but what he did tell me was important. A couple of things that he said was, one, you will not do a voice demo for 6 months to a year. You got to train yourself first. And the second thing he told me was pay it forward. And so that's where all of this other stuff that I do besides my own personal voiceover career, as far as working as a voice actor, where it comes from. I have always kind of had this natural desire to share knowledge and to help, you know, to assist people. So that's really where the pay it forward. And it started right away. And why it started right away is he said to me, listen, in a couple of weeks, I guarantee you somebody's going to come to you just naturally, because this is the power of how the universe works. Somebody's going to come to you and ask you about voiceover, and you're going to think, well, I don't know anything because, you know, I'm brand new here. I'm just thinking about it. And he said, but know that you now know more than that person because we just had an hour conversation.
Wow. And I love that he gave you that. Those two pieces of advice, man, first of all, to not do your demo for 6 months to a year, I did not get that. And I tell everyone that I know now, like, wait, hold off. You don't have to have your demo done yesterday. And that he said to pay it forward, because so often people can be really kind of, closed or scared and not want to share.
Or competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way I look at the voiceover business is it's not rejection, it's selection. Mm-hmm. If you and I were to do the exact, you know, perfect reads for who we are, you know, the perfect performances for an audition, then it just comes down to what voice do they want to go with? What do they think? What spin do they need that they think is going to most excite the demographic that they're after? So that's really where I come from. So I mean, listen, there are 10 guys that we are all you know, pretty close with each other, and we're all auditioning for the same thing, and we may even have the same type of voice, even though our voices are, everyone's voice is different. So it's just a matter of selection, whichever one they feel would most represent what it is that they're trying to represent. So I'm, when I direct somebody as part of one of my workouts, let's say, and they're doing an audition that I'm also doing, I'm still committed to them doing the best performance they can do. There's a whole conversation around that. You know, I'm a pretty opinionated man. I have lived a life. I'm not young by any means. I'm beyond retirement age, okay? And what I see is what people focus on in regard to voiceover, and it's a process, it's a journey. But what I studied with one of the best teachers that I think ever lived, and he's now no longer teaching because he took a full-time gig as a creative director at a game company. But he
David Meyerly?
That is correct.
Oh my God. Yeah, I worked with David too.
Yeah, and I had the blessing of studying with him for 2.5 years.
Oh yeah, he's a good egg. That's
yeah, so funny. And what I see a lot that goes on is people are focused on important words or what they sound like. And there, as I say it, there are no important words. There only are important ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people do in this business when they start is they're in such a rush to go to work that they miss the boat, and they don't understand that you would not start to learn the piano and expect to get a gig in 3 months.
Don't you think that's kind of our culture too, or this culture of human doings versus human beings that we just kind of do?
Here's my experience. Most people are not willing to do the work.
Okay. But what do you view as the work? I want to hear that.
There's three parts of it. For me, I call it the Holy Trilogy. It's called performance, directing, and editing. And those three things, you raise the bar on any one of those. In other words, you become a better editor. You've just upped your game as a performer. You up your game as a performer, you're going to raise your game as a director and as a editor. And why directing is so important is because when you put on your director's hat, you begin to see things and listen to things in a whole new way that you cannot do as a performer. And then that all sort of filters into your own performances. I've actually discovered things. For instance, this is a great example. So I teach 5-week courses. Well, one's a 4-week course on both Adobe Audition and Audacity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting because I kind of do things on the fly. In other words, I don't try to fix everything so it's all perfect when I present it. I want to do it on the fly and deal with the problems that show up to show them exactly like, wow, this is a problem. And let's figure out how to do it. So plosives, you know what a plosive is?
Yes.
It's people. So what was interesting on this one plosive when I was teaching this class in editing, what I do is I take the very beginning of the plosive. It's a little jagged edge at the very beginning of the word. That's the pop. And what I do is I de-amplify it. And I de-amplified that thing all the way down so it was almost a flat line. And I played it and it sounded perfect. But when I went to listen to it from perspective, like the phrase prior, when it came down to where the plosive it is, it sounded like the plosive was still there. And the reason it sounded like this plosive was still there was because there was a little bit of silence in between the phrase prior and when the plosive happened.
So how did you alleviate that?
You just remove the space. And as soon as I removed the space, it all sounded smooth. Now, what that taught me as a performer, which is really what I learned so in my bones from David, is where the magic comes, where the conversational thing happens, is in the separation of the ideas, of the phrases. We even got it down to beats. And understand, I come from being a musician. I was a professional musician in my first life, and I was a drummer. And so David, when he would teach me things, a lot of it was from a musical standpoint because I understood that, I understood that genre.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I see, and this is a classic, when you hear someone that's new in this business, they read the whole thing all together. Mm-hmm. It's all and they're missing the ideas. And the reason that that happens is this. If I were to ask you, you are X amount of years old. You've been reading, let's say, since you were 3 or 4 years old. Who have you read for mainly in your life?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Well, lately it's my son, but it used to just be me.
Exactly. So when we read to ourselves, we cheat like crazy. We skip words. We blow over words. We don't know what they mean. But our brains are so amazing that they can actually sort of suck out of all of that gobbledygook the meaning of what it is that we're reading. So what happens is when people start to read out loud, now they're not reading for them, they're reading for someone else. There's this over-exaggeration or this overcompensation that happens that doesn't sound natural. I actually I've spent the last year since David stopped teaching, really defining what it is that he taught me, listening to old, you know, the sessions that I had done with him. And candidly, he probably told me everything I needed to know in the first 10 sessions.
Mm.
And it became my job to really pull the gold out. And what I realized early on was there's this gap between what happens and what we're focused on when we're having a dialogue like you and I are having right now, and what happens when you actually read a script. Because, you know, it always happens. People sound really natural. They're really great. And all of a sudden they get behind the mic, they start reading a script, and it's like, who the heck is that?
Right, right, right. This artificial stiff person.
Where did you go? You know, what happened to you?
Yeah.
So the thing is in my coaching that I do have been doing with these people, the essence of all communication to connecting it to what it is when we're actually having a conversation. So it's kind of interesting because there's only three things. Like if I ask you to read a script, I would say, okay, what are you focused on? And people would say things like, well, and by the way, I've had this conversation with probably 50 people before I even attempted or wanted to even take on a coaching student. Because see, my thing was, I didn't want to just be another coach. If I'm going to coach, I want to give some breakthrough technology. Mm-hmm. So bottom line is, they'll say things like, well, what are you focused on? Well, I'm focused on what I sound like and what my pacing is. And, you know, what are the important words? What do I need to accentuate? What do I my articulation? I want that all to be good. And I go, great. So when you and I are having a conversation, are you focused on any of that? And the answer is no. And what's interesting is I also say, and do you notice that you don't even know what the next word out of your mouth is going to be? So now we've got this gap between what we're focused on when we're actually doing a script and when we actually have a dialogue. Sort of the question is, what is the essence of all communication? And this is stuff that I've learned over my years in all the personal growth work that I've done. The essence of all communication is intention.
Yeah.
So what happens is you're trying to bring your intention to the script, even though it's not your words. And that's what I learned how to do from David. And quite candidly, a lot of it has to do with just separation of the ideas, of the phrases. And I have been able, like, I am so comfortable now that I look at a script and I see every opportunity I have, pretty much. 90% I get on a first two reads through, like just reading what's there, understanding the script.
So if people want to participate in WOW or take Adobe Audition or Audacity courses that you teach or work with you one-on-one, they should go to either vohaven.com or larryhudson.com, correct?
It's larryhudsonvo.com. But yeah, either one of them will get there. Or they can just send me an email at my email address, which is LH, like Larry Hudson, LH at larryhudsonvo.com. And all the emails all come to the same place. I got 7 emails, you know, for the different parts of the world that I play in. But so it's not a big deal. And I'm pretty responsive. Listen, my 5-week course for Audacity, no one would give you what I give you. It's 5 weeks. It's usually on Monday night. We go from 5 p.m. to 6:15 live session. I present these techniques. And then what I do is send you the recording and coursework to execute that week. And two of the 5 weeks, I am sending you recordings of my voice for you to edit. And I give you not only a summary, but a step-by-step of literally how to do everything. In addition to that, what people have, they have 100% access to me outside of the live class to, if they have a problem, they send me an email. We set a time if it's not immediately. And then what we do is we meet on Skype. I get them to share their screen and we resolve their problem. So, you know, it's $300.
No, that's a great deal.
Yeah. And you get a lot of personal attention. And then so what I do is when they do their coursework each week, I have created a private Dropbox for them and me. And then what happens is I have a comments like a Word doc in there. And so every week I'm giving them comments and sometimes I make them do it over. They have to resubmit because they didn't execute good enough so that they'll learn it. And, you know, the thing I say about my course is both courses is the way to really get the course is to do the coursework 3 times a week, not just do it once, because you're not going to get it once. I've learned this stuff by doing it over and over and over and over again. And I'm always looking for the shortest, fastest way between 2 points. So my thing is all about speed and accuracy. For me, if it's an audition, it is no different than paid work. I spend the same amount of time.
That's our work, man, is the auditions.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my last question for you.
Sure.
Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. What do you hope your overall voice conveys in life and in work?
I really want to convey compassion. Compassion for the human condition, for the challenges that we all have as human beings. And the thing I learned a long time ago is that there's always challenges. That's what being alive is. So I would want to be a voice of, it's going to be okay. Notice that you're still handling everything that's come your way, no matter how big or small, you have the power to make it happen. And trust me, I heard you can do anything you want to do. All you got to do is focus on it and do the work. And I didn't believe it. And I will tell you that because I really wasn't as committed as I thought I was until I found this business. And let me tell you, as the person that I had the conversation with, he said to me, Larry, there's lots of people I've told what to do. You didn't just pick up the ball and run. You picked up the ball and hauled ass. And for me, this is not work. This is my joy in life. If I had all the money in the world, I would be doing exactly what I'm doing now. And I feel very blessed to have a designed life. There is no separation, no distinction for me between work and play. It's all the same. So I want to be that voice to say, hey, you can do this. You just got to do the work. And it takes work. And I've seen people do the work and make it happen. And I love that.
Oh my God, I got a little teary-eyed there. I love that. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
So my pleasure, really.
Thanks for listening in. Stay tuned next week for episode 32, where I'm talking to one of my favorite persons and producers in the world, my sister, Nicole Zaremba. And a reminder, if you haven't taken my free 5-day VO challenge, go to tinazvotraining.com/challenge. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.